Blog Talk Radio.
It's time. Politics on the Navajo Nation, brought to you by Cal Nez Design, and hosted by Cal Nez himself.
Yat eich kohasi to, yat eich nan hirishnido leich. Sorry to be starting a little late, but you know, it's better to be on than never show up. But you know, we have just been had some very, very interesting set of stuff happening. I wanted to discuss and talk about tonight's, the Navajo Nation president, Ben Shelley's veto and the intent of the Navajo Nation Council to get together and on Monday to override Ben or President Shelley's veto. So that's the topic tonight. Listeners, please call in 347-989-0048. 347-989-0048. So the topic again tonight is the Navajo Nation's Council or Navajo Nation Council's attempt to override Ben Shelley's veto. And of course tomorrow is the Chinle hearing, so there's going to be a lot of media attention on that as well, and be curious to see what happens. I understand that the Navajo Nation Board of Election Supervisors said that they are going to leave the ballots as they are and leave Mr. Deschiti on the for November, which is next Tuesday, for that election, for the general election. But of course, the Navajo Nation Supreme Court is now in a position where they're basically saying, you know what, we want you to show cause that you are complying with what we ordered you to do. So I've invited several guests from the Navajo Nation Council. And of course, they, you know, they are quite busy. And but I'm also posting on Facebook at the same time that we're going to be on the air and we're live right now. So I'm doing two things at the same time. I'm waiting for another guest. I can see on the board right now that one of my guests is on air or is on the line right now, but I'm waiting for the other guests to show up. And I want to discuss this whole thing unfolding from the end of the primary election and the scenarios that we've gone through, and my interview with Mr. Leonard Sosi, yesterday was quite interesting. And the thought that went into the legislation that is trying to bring some sort of a solution to the current status. And so you've got the Navajo Nation Supreme Court, the Office of Hearing and Appeals. And like I said, I'm waiting for one more guest. So I want that guest to show, and I'll bring both of them on once they show up, and then we'll go and, you know, just kind of have a an open dialogue about this, get people's thoughts and opinions on this, and you're welcome to also give us a call. So, but we've got the Navajo Nation Supreme Court Office hearings, the Navajo Nation Council, the Navajo Nation Board of Elections, they get involved, or obviously they've been involved all along, but now they basically said, we are not going to change anything, ignoring the Supreme Court. We know all of that. And so Navajo Nation Council comes in. So, but anyway, we have 1 hour left in the show. So I guess I'll just have to just proceed, and when the other guest shows up, we will just, there you go. Awesome. Cool. So ladies and gentlemen, we have, you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, Kehalana, De Kelnez Ananhitish, Kurenkitlahadne. Akoharo, there's some guests, and I'll just have them introduce themselves, this name and where they're calling from, and we'll go from there. And so, first caller, I would know both of you. Hi, Ammon and Sylvia. Ammon, why don't you go first?
Ammon Ranger, calling from Salt Lake City. Originally from Port Defiance, so.
Hi, Ammon. How are you? And hi, Cal.
On
a three-way discussion, which is good.
Yeah. Well, you kind of heard a little bit of my blog today. Of course, we're still talking about the Navajo Nation election, and the election is going to happen Tuesday. And there's a big question mark sitting over the Navajo Nation right now. We've got several things taking place. Tomorrow is going to be a hearing in Chinle for the Board of Election Supervisor and also Mr. Deschitney. And so, and then according to the Navajo Nation Council, they are going to be convening on Monday, and their attempt, depending on how many is really signed into legislation, I guess it needs to have a certain amount in order to have a special session take place. But in that one, they need a two-thirds vote. So there's that, and that's the day before the general election. And I was telling Mr. Leonard Sosi, I said, I guess, depending on what happens on Friday, if the worst scenario does happen, which is having the Board of Election Supervisors and also the office workers at the NEA, as well as Chris Deschitney, they could be in jail, and you can't really have an election when you've got all those people in jail. I mean, that's the worst scenario. I don't think that might, you know, that's, I hope that doesn't happen. But so anyway, I just want to throw that out. And so we've got all of this, and whose power is going to supersede who, and all of this. What do you think, Ammon? And Sylvie, you can do
really
that any time you want to.
On tomorrow. Yeah. I mean, it just kind of all hinges on tomorrow, what happens with the Supreme Court hearing. You know, the Supreme Court hearing isn't really with Chris tomorrow. It's actually just with the Board of Election Supervisors. They're the ones that are being accused of being in contempt of court. So it's not against Chris tomorrow. It's just against the Board of Election Supervisors. And it's just asking them to explain why that they, you know, haven't followed the orders of the court. Now, like you were saying, in worst case scenario, they could be arrested. Now, the actual order that came down, Herb Yazzie didn't order them to appear in person like the attorneys were asking. So they actually probably won't be there. It'll probably just be LaVon Henry that appears on their behalf and enters their, you know, appearance, if they have anyone show up at all. And, I mean, out of that hearing, they could hold him in contempt, at which point they'd issue a bench warrant. So, I mean, they probably would be free over the weekend. I don't think they would pick him up that quickly, if at all. Biggest thing they have hanging over their head is just that lifetime ban from politics, which would probably be kind of hard for a few of them. And then they, you know, may be looking at having their office removed. You know, so it's a, you know, it's a, you know, gesture for them to stand up for the people and go to jail for this. But I mean, in the end, they could just, you know, strip their office from them anyways. So it, if they do that, then they can just, you know, execute the orders on their own just by taking away their office, which I think people would be pretty upset about. But I mean, it would cancel the election.
Well, also the Navajo Nation, according to Leonard Sosi, who was saying, you know what, it's most likely the election is going to be moved back, whatever that,
yeah,
however long it's going to be, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I doubt it'll go through on time. It's just, it's kind of hard, though, because, I mean, people aren't going to know whether or not to go vote on Tuesday. You know, myself, I've had a few people ask me, should we be voting, and to answer the truth, I don't know. It may end up being a valid election, it may not, just kind of depending on how tomorrow goes. And of course, Herb Yazzie could just, you know, not follow through on it and, you know, not hold him in contempt and allow it to go through, but I don't think that will be very likely. So, I mean, it's kind of a gray area what's going to happen, just kind of based on what they decide to do tomorrow, and we'll see what all the other branches can do. Now, you know, the bill to override the veto is still to be considered too, but I mean, it's not going to happen soon enough. You know, with this hearing happening tomorrow, unless they continue it to see what happens with this.
Well,
I mean,
let's look at
tomorrow.
Yeah, let's look at tomorrow. What are the possible scenarios, Sylvia?
I'm not sure about the. I think Ammon did a pretty good job with his assessment of what can happen tomorrow. And I would agree with that. I just want to add to the the fact that there's so many complicating issues here. We've got so many different organizations basically flexing their power muscle, and that's what causes so much confusion from every level of government, from the candidate, all the way to NBOE, all the way to OHA, all the way to the legislature, the executive, the Supreme Court. And I think, to me, the bottom line is whose power supersedes which power. And we did put in certain responsibilities associated with every duty and responsibility. And my question is, why did we put those positions in only to disregard and undermine those positions? And I guess, to me, that's the message that is coming across when every certain individuals from each group express their opinion. And I call that opinion because I think it appears to me, from my perspective, that everybody is interpreting their responsibility based on their political views. And when you get into a position of responsibility, I think you are obligated to take away your own personal perspective and read the law as it is written and honor the position that you hold according to the law that it dictates. And we are also, I'm not going to include myself in this because I tried to stay out of it, and I've just been reading comments that are made and listening to what is happening. And I personally stood back and just listened, only because it just seemed to me that it had become an emotional issue. And I wanted to wait until the decision was made. And every time I
thought, but that's the very question. We don't even know. Well, let's say tomorrow a decision is made, whatever that decision is, tomorrow, the highest court in the land on the Navajo Nation makes a decision, says, you know what, I we expect, we issued that would this candidate be disqualified. But you know that the election office has dug their heels in. So if they say, okay, you guys got to stop this thing, you know, we need to put the next candidate in there, then what does the nomination council do? So what, you know, who's going to follow through? Who's going to execute the stoppage or the continuance?
Those are all questions I think we share, and I think what we are doing in every step of the way is setting a precedent. And we, those individuals who are holding specific offices of responsibility, need to realize that not only the youth, the public, but those outside of the Navajo Nation are looking into the largest tribe on the Navajo Nation. And what they're seeing is a lot of undermining going on. And it's really unfortunate to see that, because we do have a responsibility. And what I see, the message that is being brought across, is that it is okay to undermine for the sake of constitutional, quote, unconstitutional rights. And I even heard some discussion or a comment that was made suggested that maybe if all these organizations don't satisfy a particular voter's preference, then we should go outside of the Navajo Nation. That's another preference, another precedent we are setting. What are we saying to ourselves when we say that? So when we set a precedent to speak beyond the Navajo Nation government in all areas, NBOE, OHA, the Supreme Court, the legislative body, the executive body, now we are involving the federal government. Do we understand what that means? What we are saying now is that we are incapable of governing ourselves, and therefore kick the BIA, the federal government, go ahead and supersede everything that we established. Do you see how damaging and what a travesty that would be for us to say,
yeah,
the federal government, we can't, we don't know how to dictate, or we don't know how to govern ourselves, so take back or take away our power? Is that what we're really trying to say?
Yeah, and that could be like we can't even settle our own internal affairs, so how can we really be a sovereign government?
Yeah, and that won't happen. The feds won't step in on this. You know, right now there's a tribe in California that's having also a leadership dispute, you know, two factions vying for control of their government. It's one of the gaming tribes, so they're dealing with a lot of money. Actually, it's gone so bad out there that they've had armed conflicts, you know, people showing up with weapons, trying to take control of their government buildings. They appealed to the feds. The feds aren't stepping in. They told them to hash it out on their own. They're providing federal agents for safety, but the feds won't come in and tell us how to run our elections. So this is something we're going to have to figure out on our own.
What tribe is that, Ammon?
I'm going to have to look it up. I just haven't had it before I've talked about it, but I've been following the stories on it. I just don't remember what the tribe is. Gaming tribe, it's somewhere in California, but I mean, it just doesn't happen. You know, they just like the Navajo Nation oil and gas, where they tried to take that to federal court. You know, a federal judge looks at it, and you know, where the Constitution doesn't apply directly to our tribal government,
yeah,
there's just not a place for them to step.
That's a good point, because I had forgotten about that one. You're right. The judge says, you know, this is out of our jurisdiction. So no matter if somebody else sues from there, or you know, depend on. This is so confusing. It's so absolutely confusing. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, again, yes, we know what the potentials are, but really we've got Tuesday, and then Monday is going to happen with the council, and then tomorrow is another thing that's going to happen. And so
the council has to get this into a special session first, which is you know, kind of a long shot as is. They have to get it back in front of the council. They have to have, you know, a super majority, and it was a pretty intense debate. I I don't know that there's really four delegates that are going to switch sides. I mean, if Dwayne Sinanjuni shows up, you know, that's only three more that they need. But still, I mean, I think that's going to be kind of reaching. If they got that done, it's not going to happen until, you know, late next week at the earliest. And, I mean, in the meantime, you know, basically the court can either put the board in jail or they can remove them from office and make it happen anyway. So, I mean, whether the council does it or not, it really doesn't. The timeline is going to make it difficult to make that really have any sort of impact. Now, once the council does that, I mean, it's still going to be subject to review by the, you know, judicial branch. The Supreme Court still is going to be able to look at that and they can interpret that as illegal anyways. So let's say that you get past all that, the override happens, the emergency session happens, Supreme Court decides not to step in and change the law or strike any part of it down. Well, that still doesn't clear up the ballot or the election. There's still a final order from the Supreme Court saying that Chris
exactly.
is qualified and the election
yep.
needs to be postponed. So even if you get through all those barriers, you still got to go back to the Supreme Court, still got to re-argue the same case in front of Herbie Ozzie, and this won't be for, you know, 3-4 weeks out. So, I mean, no matter what, I mean, really the election needs to be postponed. And if it does need to get postponed, then they, I mean, the maximum they can postpone it is 60 days. So even if they did that, I mean, it's still leaving us with like a month, if we're lucky, to campaign and hopefully actually get to the real issues. I mean, how are we going to fix our problems? You know, what are our concrete plans? What is our platform? What specific policies is the president going to change? What specifically is he going to do that we haven't done before that's going to fix our, you know, crippling, you know, unemployment rates, our, you know, our poverty that we face, our depression, our violence, our, you know, weak laws where we can't protect our own citizens? I mean, what are they going to do? We haven't even touched on any of that.
Oh,
yeah.
No kidding on
yeah.
that one.
Well, I've always said that the way that this could have been avoided from the beginning would have been to draft legislation, draft a statute that was clear so that there's no room for interpretation or misinterpretation. Had that been done, we would not be in this dilemma. So trying to go back and retroactively change a law when a present crisis is going on, I'm not sure whether that really is an effective way to do it. And
well, you know, one
I
thing
believe,
I know for, absolutely for sure is that, you know, the Navajo Nation Election Board of Supervisors, they knew that this was coming. They knew that the question about Chris Deschenes, non-fluent, was coming because they, I mean, I asked them on the campaign trail, in fact, twice at two forums where they were present. I asked. The reply from them to me was that I also, what the person I was talking to said, yeah, I also asked the same question. So in other words, going back to what you're saying, Sylvia, is that, you know what, they could have remedied this whole thing because they knew it was coming down. But now, why are they digging their heels in?
Who are you referring to? You're talking about the Board of Supervisors?
Yeah, and because you said that the... you know, we could have legislation fixed.
Well, I think what every organization is doing is expressing their individual responsibilities according to what they committed to doing when they raised their hand to honor the position that they were elected to. And I think that's probably where, you know, the Supreme Court probably needs to look at each party, for example, NBOE, and say, okay, this is what you took your oath of office to do that. And I think they're coming from that perspective. And OHA is doing the same thing. And the legislative body is trying to retroactively make a change that they were not responsible for doing that because this legislation was written how many decades ago, long before they were even in office. So,
yeah, it was
you know,
done in 1990. Right. 90s.
So we can't fault them for doing that, and but making a retroactive legislation may not be the answer, because that's where it appears like we are, whoever's making the change is doing that for the express purpose of benefiting one candidate. And we've heard that said, and that's understandable because that's what it appears to be. But my thought is I've heard some comments that are made on Facebook where people are saying let the people choose their candidate or choose their let the people express themselves. What was the exact wording? I can't remember. I know there are variations of that expressed on Facebook. And
Evan,
then I
what
thought,
was that? The people's choice or something like that?
Yeah, let the people choose. That's
yeah.
Ammon?
Is
Ammon gone?
Yeah, I think that's it. No, I'm still here.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, and then I would have thought that they would have been happy with what President Shelley did, because he's suggesting that the people choose, because the referendum is an exact expression of letting the people choose, or maybe certain people only wanted certain people to choose a particular candidate. So it does bring that question to mind when I hear people saying, the very people that were saying let the people choose all of a sudden are attacking the very person who's doing exactly what they wanted to be done, and that was to let the people choose. And a referendum is the exact way to do that. So I'm kind of confused as to why group of people who wanted to quote unquote let the people choose all of a sudden are not supporting the president when he says let's do a referendum. Has that caused a question in your minds? I mean, it has for me.
Well, I think people are just upset that it's not going to happen instantly. Several months ago, I was telling people that a referendum ultimately would override and would have ended all this. It is a pretty time-consuming process. You have to first off get together people, have them file the affidavit. You have to collect enough signatures to, do the amendment, and it takes some time.
Actually, not Ammon. The legislature, the Navajo Nation Council, can actually buy a vote. I'm not sure whether it has to be a majority or a supermajority. One of those. They can actually put that legislation on the ballot. They don't have to gather the votes. There are two ways to put something on the ballot.
Oh, yeah, that's right. But, I mean, even then, it still wouldn't be done in time to have Chris Cicini on the November 4th ballot, which is, I think, what those people are wanting. So, I mean, putting it to referendum is going to take time, and it takes some work no matter which way you look at it. And, it's kind of down to the last minute, so I don't really have time to run with that. But I mean, I think that is what Ben Shelley's suggesting, and if you started it sooner, it would have been, I guess no matter when you started it, it still probably wouldn't be ready until 2016.
Yeah. So my thought is a way to resolve this whole thing is maybe to put a stop to the election altogether until we get this resolved, instead of moving forward and voting, because either way we're going to be undermining some group. Moving forward. So, I'm thinking maybe the best thing to do is just to put a stop to the whole election until we get a resolution and a consensus on how to move forward with this whole thing.
Yeah. By Tuesday. Yeah, go ahead, Ammon.
I was just going to say, I agree. I think that, where it is now, we just can't keep going with it as it is. I think really the fairest thing to do is just put it to a special election, just have everybody run off, restart it.
Yeah.
Let this, Supreme Court thing work out. And the thing about the Supreme Court is, if we're going to not follow this order, then we just have to scrap it and start again. I mean, there's not really a way we can ignore one order and then hope to have it be a valid institution in the future. Because let's say I decide to, have some issue I want heard in front of the court, and, as a citizen, I have my right to take it to district court, and if I don't like that or if there's something you know, procedurally wrong. I have my right to take it to the Supreme Court. You know, and if the Supreme Court's issuing orders that don't need to be enforced or don't need to be followed, then what's the point in me doing that in the future? You know,
yeah,
and
exactly.
If we're going to strike this down, then we really just need to rebuild a new Supreme Court. You know, it has to be a viable institution. Otherwise, what's the point in having it? What's the point in appealing? There is no point in having that if we can't enforce the orders that it's putting out.
Right.
Yeah, one of the things that, speaking of the Supreme Court, a lot of the people out there were saying that, you know what, the Supreme Court, well, actually, the Nomination Council, the ones that drafted this legislation up, I mean, they basically said the Nomination Supreme Court did wrong by using Hank Whitethorn's fluency definition. And so now they're saying, well, we're the one that's going to be doing it. It still comes down to that very, very point, that is that the, you know what, we can, this thing has just mushroomed into so many different things. It still comes down to this. And I continually ask everybody, ladies and gentlemen, at the moment that Mr. Christos Cheney walked in, he, with his notarized letter, at that very moment, he consciously made a you know, decision. I hope he did make it, you know. So, and he signed it, turned it over, saying that on these standing laws, number three, must fluently speak and understand Navajo and read and write English. And so I continually ask even the council, it's irrelevant what the future is going to hold. And now, because of this, there's the very law and the foundation of this whole entire election for a qualified candidate to jump on board has been now nullified because all of a sudden two people happen to challenge it. And by the way, a lot of people say, you know what, they're the two most hated. You know what, it's like, you know what, I don't think that that's the most two hated. They're the one that should be, you know, pat on the back for bringing a flawed law. And so, you know, and that's the thing, is that what happens to when that, quote, violation occurred? Is that just kind of swept under the ground or under the rug, and we're just now looking at this whole thing and saying to the world that, you know what, we're going to change this legislation, draft something up real quickly so that we can have an election?
Mm-hmm. And it, I mean, it happens every 4 years. You know, 4 years ago, Joe Shirley was in Christos Cheney's position, arguing the same thing on fundamental law. We have the right to choose our leaders. Took it to the Supreme Court. You know, was disqualified. You know, 4 years before that, same thing. 4 years before that, same thing. So, you know, every year we're refining our, every election we're refining our laws, challenging new portions of it. You know, we talk about why wasn't this solved earlier. Well, I mean, why aren't we working on the age thing? Because, I mean, that's probably going to come up too. You know, someday somebody younger than 30 is going to want to run for president. They're going to say they have the right to, you know, be the leader of the tribe, you know, and, you know, based on fundamental laws, and they're going to be here challenging the same thing. You know, so we're going to keep having these challenges. They've happened before. They're going to happen again. And,
yeah.
You know, legislating in a way is not the way to fix it. It's, you know, something we have to, if we feel strongly enough that people should be the ones that are, you know, determining language fluency, that there shouldn't be any tests, there shouldn't be any challenge to it, that's fine. You know, let's make that law, and let's make that be a change. But right now isn't the time to do that, I don't think, in my opinion, because it's undermining
the
institution.
You're right. Absolutely right, Simon. And see, the other thing that I think we haven't touched on is the precedent we're setting with all the other organizations. We're also setting a precedent to say that if we want a particular candidate to run, let's change the law so that that person is able to run. So if we set a precedent to do that, let's say the next election cycle, we find somebody else with qualifications that are not in the book, in the legislation. So are we going to go and say, let's make some retroactive changes so that individual can run for office? Are we setting a precedent to do that? See, those are things that we don't realize we are doing by doing this. That's one point.
Here's one
point
thing that I'm gonna. Here's one thing I'm gonna say is that, Sylvia, a lot of people do not understand when we talk about precedence. Go into what that really, really means. And by the way, I've got two other callers that are now on the phone. You're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation, and now I've got four guests. You guys can all hear each other, and the telephone number is 3071, and you're on the air. Hello, can you identify yourself and where are you calling from?
Sal, yeah. I have to apologize. I've got to go.
Okay.
Thank you for the opportunity, and thank you, Ammon. You've got such great perspective. I love to hear your perspective, and Cal, you're doing a good job, but I've got to go. All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Bye. So the 3071 and 1029, you're all in on this conversation. So please identify yourself. 3071. Hello? Hello? Okay. Austin Mix, is that you? On the other one, 1029.
Hello, it's me again, talking to you this evening. Can you hear me?
Mr. Mix, right?
This is Mr. Gay from Pine Hill.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, okay. We're all just kind of just everybody, you can jump in at any time. So we've got three people, and we're just going to, like, we're sitting under a cha'onaisi town. We're all sitting under there, and we're all kind of analyzing this whole thing and, you know, what the potentials are. If you say something, you know, I might, you know, hey. So anyway, go. Ammon, so I was just saying that, you know, I forgot what I was saying. So go ahead, Ammon. What was, just throw some of your ideas in at the same time that I'm here. You know, you guys can have your discussion over there. Let me just try to continue to promote the show.
Yeah, I was just saying, you know, maybe we could do a special election, you know, just redo this thing from the start. Or maybe another option might be if we just, you know, go ahead and leave a write-in option. You know, that's letting the people use their voice. And if we reinstate the write-in option tomorrow, then it allows everybody to vote who they want in. And, you know, if people feel that Chris is Navajo is proficient without having to change a law, or, I mean, we can take it back to the Supreme Court. They can, you know, go along with that. And maybe that might be a diplomatic solution to let everybody vote and not invalidate all the votes that have already gone through. And just, you know, see where we end up with that.
Mr. McGay, or what do you think? Hello?
Hello, are you talking to me?
Oh, go ahead and give us a...
Go ahead, pass it on again.
Yeah, okay, so the other caller, what's your thoughts?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead. This is Cal Nez, and you are on the air. I can hear you, and you're listening to Politics on the Navajo Nation. We've got three guests that are on. We're just having a cha'o discussion, so go ahead. What's your thoughts?
Cha'o discussion.
Go ahead. What is your thoughts?
Hey, Cal. This is Nate from Shibrock.
Oh, yeah. Nate, go ahead. We are talking about the Navajo Nation Council's attempt to veto President Shelley's to override Ben Shelley's veto.
You know that's not going to happen. You need a 2/3 vote in order for to override it, and it, the whole thing's not even put together right. So todo nito. You should know that they need at least a 2/3 vote. Like, what, 24 councilmen?
They need 22 right now with two removed, so they need 15 votes altogether.
So they have to put five
at least
voters over.
To 17.
Yeah. Oh, well.
And Dodon,
make sure he shows up this time.
And yeah.
Yeah, he needed 2/3 vote, so at least 15, depending if it's the same makeup that we saw last time.
And
so having said
already
that,
over, so.
What? Hey, Nate, what do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
I think the judge is going to stand. It's going to stand. The Supreme Court is going to, already made the decision. It's going to stand the way it is.
So what do you tell the people that are out there saying, you know what, my rights have been violated because I voted, this is my candidate? All
well,
three of you guys.
You got to look at both sides. I'm pretty sure how many votes went in, about maybe 4,000. So all of that was on Chris's vote. Half of it's probably Joe's vote too. You got to consider that he's going to lose his votes and both of them. Well, no offense, Monsatanda.
Any offense, Monsatanda?
Well, probably he's going to call no tug in our offense, Monsatanda. I don't know. Well, yeah, there you go.
So now, go ahead, caller.
Override the Yankees. It's a big one. So I thought, council, they already make their mind. Yeah, they need 15 votes, and I don't think they have enough votes to override it. So on this, okay.
Yeah.
But this was okay. So yeah, we have to move on to maybe to district court or somewhere to file suit. That's actually something like that. Hey, Ato. So we're still under the United States. We're on Constitution. We have a right.
Do you really think that? Do you really think that the that a potential Navajo Nation? I mean, who's going to file that? The voters, or is that going to be Chris Ashini?
The voters. They have a voter coalition. They have like 1,000 likes on Facebook. Veterans, they fought a war, yeah, or freedom, man. And yeah, open that thing, man. It's just like.
The only way to.
North Korea, not, no, or somewhere. They choose their own leader. Supreme Court, yeah, step by step, I think a rule that. And so, Nego Ben is hot that they test.
But do you really think that this issue has anything to do with the veterans?
You're supposed to support and respect the veterans. And they fought our freedom so we can talk opinion A
Nate, what do you think?
In order for it to be, you know, to be violated, their rights, it has to be notarized, the whole voting system. And so far,
what do you mean by that?
In order for the whole election vote to count, it has to be, you know, an election has to take place, everything has to go in order for our voting to be violated. This is just early voting data. So both sides, they're being violated. So they say.
Yeah, and that's one thing that I always said, Ammon. What do you know, because Satotas Ahage, and these are the ones that are voting for Chris Ashini. There's 9,000 of them or more. They're the one that says our vote has been violated. But yet at the same time, or the other side, the ones that are saying that they didn't vote, which is total something like 35,000 to 40,000, what about their rights, assuming that they voted for somebody that speaks Navajo, and now this whole election has been now is possibly up in the air.
I thought he was already disqualified in the election's moving on without him.
Sir, what do you think about that?
Hey,
Joe, he was disqualified. The Supreme Court, Board of Elections, election vote, people's right, voters' right, Supreme Court, I think one thing that they should have done is this is resolved it over there. Oh, but yeah, so no, they around the world, it's in Nigeria, and they peace court. I don't think the Dell Sosi, Christian Smith, no Bible, use this thing to somebody. You're supposed to love your enemies. You're supposed to love your neighbors. So, the national dishes, the Lord, Bible page, this thing should be resolved at peace court at first. That's what I think.
Well, in the Bible it says that all the whole language is going to become one towards the end. And we're headed that way. You'll look at that too.
Hmm.
The Nebuchadnezzar, that's Eindokish. And the Shaykh, the Torah, Babel. And the Bible is called the Torah, Babel, the Layanakur. That's when God got mad and destroyed it. He separated everybody with different language. But towards the end of the world, and that's Eindokish. And then it be the Jika. Eindok doesn't see it, huh?
Yeah, and that's, for some reason, we seem to be taking this whole thing to the point of where it's like, we're like stretching way out there. It doesn't say anything about a veteran, doesn't say anything about go ahead.
Simon, this is where it says must be fluent in Navajo, Bukagi. It should just say it in one, like number, what's that, 3? And must be fluent in Navajo and read and write English, Bukagi. It should move down to the next song. Like number 5.
Now, what did you say?
On number 3, it says what? Must be fluent in Navajo?
Must fluently speak and understand Navajo and read and write English.
Okay. Right there, stop right there. Read and write English, because they should move it down to the next section so they can split it, make it more. So he asked in the Lebanon, they think the whole thing is Navajo, what up the kind of things?
Yeah. But why do you suppose that, sir, what, the other caller, not Nate, but the, why do you, I have all respect for all veterans. I say, they fought for our freedoms, they sacrificed their time and service, all of that. My grandfather, my wife's grandfather was a Navajo goat talker. He's passed. His name is Vincent Yaza. So we've been involved in all of that. So don't misunderstand that I have anything against the veterans. But number 3, that whole thing, that's the very foundation. Where did it turn into a veteran issue? Because I keep hearing that even on Facebook. Yeah, go ahead.
People are taking it too far. They're taking it to beyond what it says. You know, requirement is must be fluent in Navajo. Fluent in Navajo. Fluent means Pachedo, Omatsanda, Wanalada, Chiyajikyo, one-on-one. Alev, which is now to read, that Kilenda, Kanda has the end of our Jigna, say, oh, they're fluent.
Yeah.
Without Chiyajikyo, out of that about it now. So, Chrissy, I need to know what it is, yes, you, indeed, the art is of yes, kiddo. A cool hide and a big kiddo, son. Now, Hojin, dollars, those cents, thank you, not on that. I just want you to explain that we don't know. You don't leave us.
Yeah. But why do you suppose that this thing's a turn has become a veteran issue?
Because they're thinking back to war at the veteran with our language. Our language is, I was upset when, you know, the councilman passed that the fluency changed on Nishano. I was upset, yeah. This is our language. It's kind of a wake up call for everybody too at the same time. Oh, now we're just going to have to ask that now, you.
Huh.
It's good. It's good in a way it happened, and it's bad the way it's going. But you know, it gets better. Something has to go bad before it gets better, right?
Yeah. Well, how do you explain it to the people who are now have taken this way over here? This number three. And how do we explain that to each other? I want this to be counted. Is it the fact that we're not respecting each other? We're not respecting the law? Is it are something wrong with our culture? I mean, I'm just throwing these things out there. So, it was also streamed. Everybody knew. And even the ones that were on the stand, Moroni and Dan Smith and the others who didn't speak Navajo, who weren't fluent in that, they didn't say they didn't speak Navajo. The only candidate that said he didn't speak Navajo or wasn't fluent was Christus Sheen. Now, and they are using that as a forum to go and say, hey, you know what? I'm not trying to say, I'm against people who don't speak Navajo. I'm not. I have relatives. Yeah. You know what? I care about them, but whatever the reason why they don't speak it, you know, that's not my problem. But it's just that there's a law right here. So, anyway, so, yeah. Caller 1029, what do you think? Is Mr. Begay,
yes,
right?
Good evening again. I believe that a language... our language is very respectable and it's sacred. Yes, true. Akundi. Jonde, Jotti, Quat, Aquan, because Anigit Aya, Nizadigi Aya, Chuli. Nile Washington, the Ia Adish, the Nick Ayaskidoli, because he is a very highly educated and he is a military major. And he came here to Pine Hill, Raymond Navajo chapter here a couple of weeks ago, and he spoke Navajo, and he tried his best, and he made effort, and he's determined to learn. And he states that he writes and he reads Navajo. So we should respect that, and he should be given a chance to run for our president. And instead of, as long as he's on the ballot, and the election board has made the right decision keeping him on the ballot, and he should be given the right to run for our president. They understand, but they cannot respond. I'm like what the coffee way back in the years. It's affecting our people. But we should give this genie a chance to run for our president despite the language barrier. That shouldn't be an issue. The issue should be his leadership ability, and he should be given a chance.
So now you're saying that just give him a chance because he's making that effort.
Yes. Everybody should be given a break for their effort. Navajo language, when I was going to school at Pine Hill, I had a wonderful teacher, and he taught us how to write basic sentences, the Navajo alphabet, the vowels, the bottom line is he should be given a chance to run. As long as he's on the ballot and the voters, the vote now about that is when she tried to buy the third of the fourth year. Non-vote. That's why I'm going to vote for him again. We need somebody that is highly educated and more respectable outside. I don't law with the husband. I don't the United
law
Nations
with the husband,
the total government. Arizona. He will explain. He understands more about our situation here on our reservation and elsewhere. That's pertaining to our people.
Well, when we say that, Shananta, Jadida, remember, I'm just a commentator here, so I'm going to throw these questions out at both of you because it doesn't mean I'm against you or anything. You're still my buddy. You'll always be my buddy. We're still so here's my question to you. All summer long, I heard on the Navajo Nation, sovereignty, sovereignty. Big brother, federal government, district government, Arizona state government. If we really believe in sovereignty, because really, our Navajo Nation, we are a unique people. We're not the rest of the world. We're trying to keep our culture very true. Hanoi Tadita Anita Nle Hastui Nle A chapter house in the Adhut O Nlebid Nebataru and Nashta Adhut O Yashti. Well, I would start out. My name is Cal Nez and I talk all in English. Nle Adis and Hahotla Ad Nekachoita needs and so apparently there's some value. So now when we talk about how would a candidate, whether it's me or another candidate, whoever, why are we concerned about how he's going to be in Washington, D.C. or another country or anything like that? The issue is our Navajo people, we need to be an example and have maintained the integrity of the Navajo culture. How do you address that, Mr. Begay?
Yeah, that's true. We value our culture. We value our heritage. We hold that sacred. We respect that. Leadership. We believe that he understands. If he keeps on practicing, he will become fluent with it.
Well, he's 4 years. Nate, what do you think about all that?
4 years. Just give him a break. Just give him a chance.
Nate.
Just give him an opportunity.
If he knew the law, that fluency. Are you fluent in Navajo? Have gone all through this mess. Election board. Explain the jilada. Explain the jilada. Shut up and listen to me.
Eventually, it will become the primary language.
Among our people.
And
the urban urban chapters in the, you said, residents in the chapter house. So what grandmas, those grandpas, that's on that trip.
No.
You think he in the Christmas, on the, how does he school on a start, or out of business, your kid, or can we see you, chapter house, and the house, business, your kid, cohort. With scholarship, I know. That's the only time I can in the house currently. Out of summer, go to
summer job.
Summer jobs, of course. They use it for nothing. Other than that, they then use it in chapter house, isn't it? Hey, elders, go to daddy, I have in the house currently. I must send out a trade on the knee. You should make code the chapter, the hooker. I must send out a trade, you ever?
Oh,
no, 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 no.
Yeah. Of course, yeah, we got about 40 seconds here. So, yeah, Lana, of course, so I will, we'll be talking about this again tomorrow, and please call in again. Yeah, Lana, I don't know. Unfortunately, there was a technical issue on the blog thing. So, ladies and gentlemen, yeah, Lana, the Navajo Nation Election Office should have been refined. They weren't ready. It wasn't there. And when there's a challenge that happened, well, unfortunately, we're where we're at with that now. But and somehow, it's showing right now they've just dug their heels in, and that's very, very unfortunate. I feel bad for Chris. I feel bad for all the voters that voted for him. Chris, this law should not have just slipped through us. And more enforcement, more somehow. And then all of a sudden I'm getting information from the Nomination Election Administration, and they're basically saying to me, we're not here to test you guys. I said, okay, well then why is this law? Who's supposed to? You guys are supposed to monitor each other out there in Canada. I guess those are the clarification. The foundation of the Navajo Nation Election Code and also the administration and the Board of Election Supervisors, that's where we're paying them money, tribal money, for them to engage, to share, to ensure that our Navajo Nation election takes place, because it's not going to happen just this time. It's going to happen on other issues, whether it is an embezzlement, extortion, bribery, forgery. What if somebody, how come nobody is even going to check that? And why even have the law? So, people are digging in. Now, rather than the Navajo Nation Election Administration saying to the Navajo people or to the Heisho Sekoro, can we all come in and have a discussion? Their position was this. You know what? We're a private entity. That's who we're going to be. And we're moving ahead. We don't care what the Supreme Court says. I mean, is that just something about the disrespect? That's the problem right there, is the inability for us to listen to each other and care. And I'm really out of time now, and so I'm going way overboard. So based on what happened on tomorrow, which is in Chinle, there's a hearing, show for cause, or show cause of the, anyway, there's the Supreme Court. This is Cal Nazareth, Politics on the Nomination. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's time.
Yeah.